Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, October 24th, 2012 edition of the Sand Senet Storm Senet Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Today's Cybersecurity Awareness Month diary is about encoding standards for characters. Of course, there are tons of different encoding standards, which frequently makes it quite difficult to come up with not only good input validation routines, but also output encoding standards. Because whenever you send data back to the user, you have to encode it in a way that's consistent with whatever the user's platform expects. And that can be quite difficult at times. Now, Rob is talking about a couple of examples here that we recently gotten, in particular URL encoding. URL encoding is frequently used to obfuscate attacks. Now, in this one example, he had the attacker kind of went a little bit overboard by essentially inserting tons and tons of spaces, which then ended up being encoded as a %20. Now, when you're talking URL encoding, this is one possible encoding for a space. A plus would be as valid. It's kind of interesting, actually, that the same exploit attempt also has an I++, which essentially is sort of incrementing the variable I, but since it's URL encoded, it could also be I space space. So sometimes what encoding is being used is not always that easily to decipher. In particular, when we talk about, for example, Unicode. One challenge with Unicode is just the visual part that you could have two different strings that look exactly identical. That already has been abused with domain names. The other part is just the problem that sometimes Unicode is normalized. So where after validation, you may end up with different characters once it's normalized. So you always have to make sure that you do validate after you normalize. Third, with Unicode, but I haven't seen this as commonly, a buffer overflow challenge, because much code still relies on one byte being one character. Of course, with Unicode, depending on how it's encoded, you could have up to 16 bytes for a particular character. And then an interesting vulnerability in Google Drive. Google Drive is sort of successor of Google Documents and tries to be a little bit an alternative to Dropbox. The problem that has been uncovered, and I don't have a great link for that yet, maybe later I'll write up a diary about it tomorrow, but the problem is that if you install the Google Drive client on your system, it will automatically log you on to the Google Drive if you click on the link that opens the Google Drive in your browser. Even worse, you're not just logged into Google Drive, you're logged into your complete Google account. So from there, a user could then be able to reach your Gmail, for example. Since there's no user interaction really required other than clicking on the link, all your authentication information is cached on your system. You only enter your username and password once when you install Google Drive. So two-factor authentication is not going to help you here. And piece of malware on your system that is now able to completely access your Google account. So far, this particular issue has been demonstrated on the Windows as well, the OS X version of Google Drive. And Verizon released a new version of its data breach reports. That report always makes a pretty good read. Now, they don't really cover a terrible large number of incidents. 855, that's probably minuscule compared to all the incidents happening sort of worldwide. But those 855 incidents led to the leak of 174 million compromised records. So these are large incidents. And so far, it's actually somewhat surprising that the conclusions don't sound all that different from kind of looking at a regular sort of home system compromise. So, for example, 96% of the attacks were not highly difficult, according to Verizon. In particular, what they're saying is that 79% were targets of opportunity. So essentially, the attacker happened to come across them. It wasn't less of a targeted attack. Now, they do point out that the target attacks do happen, and they use quite more sophisticated methodology there. But really, the bulk of the attacks are defended against with fairly simple and cheap tools. And while we're talking simple and cheap tools, I do want to mention that it's time again to update Shockwave Player. Adobe came up with a patch for it, and it does fix a number of exploits, even though none of them appear to be actively exploited at this point. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.